My mother, she has scriptures too, that, and she'll call me and leave. Anybody else has good Holy Ghost mamas that will call you and leave you scriptures, or, you know, tell you, I see your hands. She'll call me every once in a while and go with the one that about King David. You will, but she takes King David's name out of it and puts my name in it. And she says, Tim, you will grow great. You will go on and be great with the Lord. And I love that. I love that. I think you should read the blessings of God and put your name in them. Read your name in them. Believe God that he's moving on your behalf and that he is causing blessings to come in. Because these scriptures can be an anchor. The Bible tells us that it gives us hope and that it is an anchor. And it even says this anchor goes behind the veil. Now, in the Old Testament, the veil was the holies of holy where God himself would manifest. And so the scriptures are telling us we can have the word of God, that hope on the inside of us, that faith on the inside of us, and it will be an anchor to the throne room of heaven. And anything between heaven and us, between our jobs, the world, the principality of darkness, those that rule in dark places. Anything can be between us and our anchor, but can I tell you, when you're anchored in the Lord, the anchor will not slip, it will not drag, it will not break. It will hold you in the place that you need to be, and it will bring blessing. When the storm is over, you'll be in the same place that you need to be. Your ship will not be damaged, it will not be off course. Why? Because my anchor is in the holies of holies. My anchor is in the word of God. And even though the gates of hell might try to come out, God says it will not prevail. Oh, can I get some people that might just believe that a little bit on the inside of them? Oh, I just, you know, this is what I love. Let's talk about this. We'll get into the sermon. Jesse's agreeing with me. We'll get into the sermon very quickly here. But you know, I love this. There's a, I forget his name. He's a magician, somewhat of a comedian. He has a friend, a partner who does not talk. Penn and Teller. Thank you, Penn and Teller. And Penn, he is, I forget which one's Penn and which one's Teller, but he's an atheist. He does not believe in God. Maybe he did a video. He did a video about somebody who came up to him and gave him a Bible, who gave him a Bible. And he said, you know, I know people that are atheists like me that are, you know, are ticked off when Christians come and they bring them stuff. And he said, but you know what? He said, I really appreciate this man. He says, because he believes it. And if you really believe God is good, there is a devil, there's a heaven, and there is a hell, if you truly believe that and you're not helping people, I won't use the exact words he used. He said, but you're not a good person. If you believe that and you don't do something about it, you're not a good person. If you truly believe it and you do nothing about it, what kind of person are you? And so I would just like to put this out there. If you are a Christian, not only if you are not trying to get people to hear the gospel as God has commanded you, but if the word of God does not move you, if the word of God does not move you to joy, to happiness, I would begin to wonder how much faith and trust do you have in the word? Oh, I'm preaching good. Lord, I've got to learn to moonwalk one day. It would be really good right now. It would fit so well right now. I've watched a video. I tried one time and I failed miserably, but I'll try again. I will try again. But let me tell you, the word of God, Mark Hankins, I believe, I'm not going to get it correct, but I'll get it close. He said, if it does not move you, if God's word does not move you, it will not move your mountains. That's what he said. He said, if God's word does not move you, it will not move your mountains. So God's word should move us. The Bible tells us that when we find the scriptures, it is as finding a great treasure. And there's no such thing. I celebrate when I find $5 that were in my pocket that I left. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even know I had that. Yeah. Yes, Lord. There's a Starbucks in my future. Yeah. Yes, God. Yeah, that $5, that you can even go to KFC and get a to-go cup. That's good stuff right there. And it was my own money. It wasn't like I found somebody else's money. I found my own. And so when you find the scripture and it becomes revelation to you, you have found a great thing that is worth rejoicing over. Because why? It will change your life. You will never be the same. Because there's an area of your life that you can gain victory over. I want to speak this. There's people in this place, I feel it by the Spirit of the Lord. They're under bondage in some areas. They're under some strong things. One, they don't share with anybody else. They don't want to share with anybody else. And it's painful. And there's a part of them that want to be free of it. Now, there's a part of them that doesn't want to be free of it. Let me tell you something. It is the Word of God that will break the anchors that are into darkness. And Paul calls you to cast a new anchor into the light. Can I tell you something? I come from a fishing community, St. George Island, East Point, Franklin County area. They were a lot of fishermen, a lot of fishermen in that area. And sometimes you throw anchor. You know what? Most of our boats, we have more than one anchor. We have more than one because there's times that you face storms and some rough weather that you need to be anchored in more than one location. I would encourage you to have a lot of anchors out into the Word of God. Keep on throwing them. But there have been times that we have faced such storms that in our area it's a lot of sand. It's a lot of sandy area, and so we'll drag sometimes, but yet there's also oyster bars where these all these oysters have been together, and we'll get stuck there. And sometimes you can't get the anchor up. And, you know that if you are not, because there's also in boating, if you're staying in one location and you're being beat by waves, you need to move from that location to a safer location to anchor out. And so if you stay there, it'll beat you to pieces. And I feel like there's some people that their anchor has gotten stuck in the world. And the waves are beating in onto their ship and they're being battered. They're losing boards. Water is coming in. And what you need to do is cut the rope. Cut the anchor that is holding you where you are, and then start to anchor yourself in God's word so that the storm may rage. God will give you a way out that you may handle the junk that you're in. See, people want God to take it all away. This just a problem. Here's all my problems. God, take my problems away. But God says he will allow you to handle it. He will give you strength you didn't even know you had. We said this last week. Sometimes God calms the storms, but sometimes he calms his children. Mm. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, you need to be calm. That's only going to come through God's word. God's word and trust in him. Changing your faith, your perspective in him. It'll get you to a place that your mind is going tilt. Your mind is going crazy. Your mind is doing the hokey pokey and done turned itself around. And it, you know, it's trying to tell you, you need to cut and run. You need to get out of this mess. This is uncomfortable. And, you know, we read the scripture that the hireling, the shepherd that is not the shepherd, but the hireling, he will cut and he will run when it becomes uncomfortable. But God will never cut and run because you are his sheep and he is our shepherd. And so there's times that things come uncomfortable. But when we're in God and God is in us, we'll be able to look at the storm and say, I have no idea what the outcome. I have no idea what will save me. But Lord, I trust you. I trust you to move on my behalf. I trust you to do things that I don't even know needs to be done. Because let me tell you something. We normally have an idea. And if our idea would play out exactly the way we think it should, it will cause us more trouble than what it would be if we just left it alone. So there are times we just need to let God be God. Do everything in the natural we know to do. Do everything that God leads us to do. But let God be God. There are times we've got to trust him when all the circumstances are saying you're going to lose. Yeah, you know, how about this? If everything goes the opposite way of what you think it should, would you still trust him? We've got to get to that place. We've got to get to the place that we believe more. God's got my best interest at heart. I may not see how he's going to turn this around. I may not see how this benefits me right now. But what I do know is this is not over. We are not finished because I have not seen the plan of the Lord. And the word tells me the God's people, they shall not be without bread. They will not be begging and they will be taken care of. God is not finished with this situation yet. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching good this morning. Y'all found Psalms 23? I'm not there yet, so give me a few more minutes. But Psalms 103 in verse 3 says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Now, if we are his sheep, that means he is our shepherd. So I belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. And can I tell you this too? You are also shepherds over your own life. You're also shepherds over your family. You're shepherds and sheep. You're both of them. You have something that God's entrusted you with to shepherd over and to be faithful to. And then you are his sheep. And so we play both parts. We are shepherd and sheep. You might say, well, I'm single. I don't have any family. Well, you have finances. You have the blessing of the Lord. There are certain things that God has called you to be shepherd over. When I talk about sheep, I always think of this story that got me in trouble. It has nothing to do with my sermon, but I'd like to share it with you. I shared it with somebody recently, made me laugh. I'll share it again. How many of you, your parents, if you left the door open, they asked you, were you born in a barn? I see those hands. My parents were the same way. I remember my mother said, "Tim, you left the door open. Were you born in a barn, son?" And I looked at her and said, "No." You only do that joke once. And so we are the shepherd. And God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Sometimes you better rely on that mercy. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundantly." It continues to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, and seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and flee, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Let me tell you this. When it comes to the body of Christ, to the gospel, we are sold out.
Yes, we are.
We are sold out to the gospel. We are sold out to the kingdom of God. We are sold out to his purpose. We are sold out because there is going to come a storm. We're not promised we won't have storms. Actually, it's just the opposite. Sometimes we like to ignore the scriptures that says, "They hated me, they'll hate you also." They're not my favorite scriptures. I don't read them, every morning. Wake up, "Oh, good morning, Jesus. They hated you. They will also hate me. Woo, let's go." These are not the scriptures that I quote every morning. But a lot of times we'd like to deny hard times. And then we go back to letting situations dictate whether or not we have a relationship with the Lord. "Lord, if I was really in your plan, why would this have happened?" I believe his answer would be like, "Well, because you are in my plan." "Lord, if I was following you where I needed to be, why would this happen?" I'm sorry. It was because you were doing what you were supposed to do. The enemy, last time I checked, hates your guts, wants you to die, wants you not to be in my plan, but in his. And you left his plan in 1982, and he hasn't really cared for you since then. But a lot of times we will judge circumstances and say we have no relationship with God, or I must be off, or I must be missing it. If you're missing it because of trials and temptations and things that are coming your way, then Paul missed it all the time because he was shipwrecked. He got bit by a snake, for heaven's sakes, and shook it off into a fire after he swam to shore, after he was freezing. Most people would have given up well before that time. Most people would have been out in the water and said, "You know what, I'm just going to take one big breath in underneath. Be like, I'm tired of all this meth. If I get free, I'm just going to prison. So, oh, let it all be over, Jesus." And I think most Christians would have never even made it to the snake part. But what did Paul do when he got bit? He just shook it off. Under the great prophet, shake it off. Shake it off. Okay. No. Who's listening to secular music? But in all of this, this. We don't cut and run. We're sold out to the kingdom of God. We recognize that if the ship falls apart, God will get us to the shore. If we're on the shore and we're freezing, God will give us the ability to make a fire. If in that fire a snake comes out and bites us, we'll use the very thing God started to kill the serpent that was trying to stop us from doing what we're doing. God gave it. See, this is the reason for perspective, the right one. Most people are like, And then what does Paul do? There's the fire. God helped me start. Get back in there. Use the blessing of God to kill what was after to destroy him. The enemy will try to come out of the blessing. Oh, I got a raise. Well, did you know you're going to be in a new tax bracket now? Do you know that you can't be on Badger Care now? Do you know all this? You should have refused that blessing. You should have refused it. Well, let me tell you something. I will take what God has blessed me with. If the serpent comes out of it, I will use the blessing to cut off the head of the serpent. Have you ever been bit by a snake? Yes. Okay. I'm not the only one. If you've ever been bit by one, now thankfully I haven't been bit by a venomous one. I've been very blessed not to be bit by a venomous one. But if you've ever been bit by one, you know, I've had one hanging. Did they hang on you?
A finger.
Tiny little thing. I shook it off. That non-venomous snake has tiny little teeth. And it cut all the way down when I shook him off. And it doesn't feel good. And so what I know is that Paul there, when he got bit, he felt something. And it didn't mean that he didn't have pain. Didn't mean that it didn't need time to heal. Didn't mean that he didn't bleed. But what it did mean was the enemy was trying to kill him. And the weapon that the enemy was going to use did not prosper. Why did it not prosper? Because it was meant to kill him. And God said, I ain't going to let it kill him. Because with long life, I shall satisfy him. And I guarantee you, Paul stood up and quoted the word. He didn't sit there and cry and say, why always me, Lord? Why is it me? This is your servant, Paul. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Are you listening, Lord? It's me. My ship just broke down. I'm freezing. All I have is this puny little fire that I was able to get started even with wet wood. Hello. Not even looking at the blessing in the middle of all the storms. It's raining, and I did find wood that was dry. I started here, but God, why? Why do I always have to face this stuff? Why does it always go through? We need to shift our perspective. God, I thank you for saving me from the ship. I thank you for saving me from not drowning in the middle of the bay, lake, whatever you're in. And God, I'm also very thankful that when I got here, I was able to even start a fire after everything was soaked. And God, when this snake bit me, thank you for giving me something that I could stick him over. Let him feel the blessing of God. God will give you the very tools you need to take care of the problems that come your way. But we've got to see it. We can't sit down and quit. We've got to see it. The good shepherd is there. He will not run. And I've made a declaration to him that I will not run. Lord, you won't run and leave me. I won't run and leave you. You call me somewhere, I'll stay there. I will stay there. I will do what you've called me to do because I'm not a hireling that I cut and run when something painful shows up. We need to have that mentality on the inside of us. I believe if we have that mentality, it won't take us a year and a half to get all of Madison saved, or they have to move out because they get sick of us. I believe we can change our city and state even more than it already has changed. See, I'm not looking at this state, doom and gloom, what's going on? There's been major changes in our city. There have been major changes in our state, and it's going to continue to change for the glory of God. We're going to see his gospel preached. We're going to see laws change. We're going to see Madison embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to continue to do so. Why? Because I have some shepherds in this place that refuse to cut and run when things get tough. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll outlast the storm. Now, we said I had 3 points. This is why this sermon's taken so long. I had 3 points, but then all 3 points, I had another 3 points. I will try to never write a sermon like this again because it is really long. Because if I have 3 points, that's three, and then each one has 3 points, that's nine. Hello. So how many points do I have altogether? 12. We have people that are good at math. Bless the Lord. Not even a calculator out. Now, we said point number one was what? He provides. The Lord provides. Under those 3 points, we said he makes, he restores, and he leads. Now, under my second point, we said he protects. And under those points, we said he is with us in the battle. He blesses us in the battle, and he refreshes us in the battle. We even read the scripture 23 where it says that God makes prepares a table before our enemy. And I think, you know, this is the way I think. I just imagine that there's a table in the middle of battle. You know, you got trenches on either side, barbed wire everywhere, those wonderful little big old spikes that tanks can't run over everywhere. And then I see this beautiful table. With all the fixings, white tablecloth, candles, maybe even little crystals hanging from the candles. I like that. Make little, you know, rainbows over the table when the light hits it just right. And people fighting all the way around, bombs going off, dirt everywhere. Only thing that hits our table is breadcrumbs. Wipe those off. And then, this is the beauty. God doesn't move. Doesn't scare the Lord what's going on around us. And if we're with him, we just sit up there, focus on the Lord, and we eat of the table that he has prepared for us. And the beauty is we invite both sides to come to the table. Hello? Those that have stood with us that are in the trenches and those who are on the other side of the trench. Why don't you come and eat with us? Why don't you come to the table? How about stop fighting? How about lay down your weapons? Because what you're fighting is not of flesh and blood to begin with, but principalities and powers of might. Why don't we lay all that down and come to the table and walk in the victory that is given to us by the Lord Jesus? And so God does all this for us. And my third point, are you ready? Yes. Oh, we have made it. He promises. Now let's read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what? We said this. I love this. This is one of the reasons we come to church, is so we can sit by the still waters and worship, and we can eat of the green pastures of the Word of God. It's important that we gather ourselves together. The Bible says to forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. And can I tell you something? We're much closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than Paul ever was. We're much closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ than any of the disciples that lived in Jesus' day. We are closer. And the Bible tells us that we should be a priority higher than even back then of not forsaking ourselves together. I'll tell you this, church is much better when you're here. You got a supply that you give that we need. You can make the service better. We need what you're supplying. We need what you have. And, you know, I like this. Atmospheres. We all know about atmospheres. Atmospheres, we have the ability to change atmospheres. We have the ability, and atmospheres can change. Have you ever been, let's take out church. When I think of atmospheres, this is where my mind goes. Your mind may go somewhere else. But I think of games. I think of baseball, football. And then, you know, hockey, where they all roll out the barrels. Never heard that until I went to a UW hockey game. Never even knew the song, Roll Out the Barrels. So they sing that. But there's like electricity in the air when everybody is paying attention and they're focused on one point and the whole teams are cheering. I mean, it changes the atmosphere. And that has nothing to do with the Lord. How about when we get together? And we're all one place, focused on the Word of God, focused on being in one place, in one accord, focused on the Scripture, believing God for breakthrough in all of our lives, believing God for our city to experience His blessing, and we're all focused. We're all praising. And God says, I inhabit the praises of my people. And so not only are we in here praising the Lord, but we recognize the word of God to be true. And if we recognize the word of God to be true, that God inhabits the praises of his people, we're praising. I don't know about everybody else, but I saw my wife and I'm praising with her. So there's two people here gathered together in his name. So he is in the midst of them and we're praising him. So he's inhabiting the praises of his people. So whether I feel it, whether I see it, whether I don't, God is here. And I choose to recognize the presence of the Lord, whether anybody else recognizes his presence. How many churches have missed something because no one recognized God was there? They just came for one purpose, which was to hear a sermon, not feel guilty anymore of all the sins they committed through the week, and they reaped exactly what they were after. They went to church and they don't feel guilty for Saturday night anymore. They reap their harvest and they don't even recognize, oh, I've been forgiven of my sins. I'm good for another week. Hopefully I make it to church. God, come after Mass. Because then I will have been blessed and all my sins are forgiven and I have a, you know, come that day so I know I can make it. And that's what they get out of church. And nobody recognizes that God showed up in the service. What if an entire congregation would come to church on Sunday morning and say, God is here. God, I recognize your presence. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Not only did you send your son to die for me. Not only did you save me from all my sin. Not only did you create me to be holy. Not only did you create me to be in your kingdom. Not only did you bless me, but God, you are here. If the whole church would have that mentality, how would Sunday mornings change? The shepherd is here. Look at your neighbor and say, the shepherd is here. He promised. Where did I even leave off? I don't even know where I left off. Psalms 23. See, this is the problem. I start reading the word of God, and it just blesses me so much, I go off on a tangent. It's the same way at my house. That's the crazy thing. If you don't want to watch me study for sermons, because I get so filled up, I just got to shout for a little while. I am much crazier when no one's watching than when y'all are. I'm reserved right now. This is reserved. When you're not watching, when I don't even want to be in front of other people, because I don't want they think I'm crazier than what I am. They know a little crazy. I don't want them to see all crazy. And I might or might not have been married for about 8 years now. And I still don't want her to see full crazy. I want her to just see little crazy. And so when I praise the Lord, there's something. When I start studying and I start getting the word of God on the inside of me, there is an excitement that feels like the bursting of 1,000 suns. That I've just got to shout a little bit, that I've just got to run a little bit, that I've just got to tell the devil what I just learned. So he knows he can't pull this over on me anymore. Devil, go ahead and try. Go ahead, enemies, principalities of dark places, go ahead and try. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? You may have had this part of my life for a while, but guess what? The word of God has come in and kicked the door down, and I have been set free and will never be the same again. Oh, because God is in the house. I serve the good shepherd. He doesn't run when things get hard. He sticks beside me when the good times and when the bad times. He is there. But the good news is he has promised me that he won't leave me in the bad times. That he has a plan for me. And even though a storm might rise up, it will not get me off path. Even if my anchor breaks, even if I didn't say the right thing or do the right thing. God, if my heart is repentant, my heart says, God, I've missed it. Help me. God will say, there is a lifeline. I'll give you new anchors. I'll give you new stuff. Have you ever worked for your daddy or family member? I loved working for my granddaddy. My daddy was a harder taskmaster, but my granddaddy, he was good. He gave me boiled peanuts anytime I wanted them. I know y'all don't do boiled peanuts, but boiled peanuts are only delicious to Southerners, I believe. Oh, okay, we have a couple more people. My wife says they taste like pinto. pinto beans. She says they taste like pinto beans. She's wrong. They taste delicious. They taste delicious. My grandfather would give me a Coca-Cola anytime I wanted it, out of the bottle or the can. And then that was when the machines, you could stick your hand up and knock them down. And he would say, like, son, go to the machine, get us two of them. Well, they were his machines. You know, he paid for them anyway. He's like, go get us two of them. And we ate peanuts. And if I was tired, he's like, son, go take a break. Hey, go lay. My grandfather, this is awesome. He had a bed in the store. They had a gas station and grocery store, right? And so he had a bed in the store. He's like, son, you're tired? Go lay down on my bed. Go lay down on my bed. That was my daddy I worked for. But you know what? I also, my granddaddy I worked for, I broke some of his stuff. You know what's good when you break his stuff? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you another one. I got plenty of them. And so when you're with the Lord and maybe your anchor broke, maybe you let the rope go, maybe you cut the rope, maybe you cut and ran because you didn't feel like a shepherd. You felt like a hireling. And then all of a sudden you realized your mistake. God will say, just like my granddaddy, don't worry about it. I got enough ropes. Get back in. Come on back where you're supposed to be. I got everything you need. You may have lost some stuff. You may have lost the boat. You may have lost the anchor. You may have cut and run. But come back to the place that I have called you. I've got more than enough for you. I will have dreams and thoughts and visions of you. And they are only visions and thoughts to bless you, not curse you. See, the enemy will lie to us and tell us God wants to curse us. God wants to get us. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. But what God is saying, don't listen to the enemy. I got more grace and mercy than he knows what to do with. If your heart's right, come to me. Even if your heart ain't right yet, we'll make it right. Just stay with me. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with me. Now, what did I say? The last one, the Lord, he promises. Let's read. Let's start off in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you something? I came from a church that started believing this. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever when you died. One day I'll die, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. It's hell down here, but God, it'll be glory up there. No. God is saying, you can dwell in my house now. You can start walking in the blessings now. And you can stay in the house once you got saved. Stay in the house forever. I give your life to Jesus and stay in his house. It's a big, big house.
Yes.
With lots and lots of room. A big, big house. Or what? It's a big, big table with lots and lots of food. Where we can play football. It's a big, big house. It's in my Father's house. I want to read that verse 6 out of the Passion Translation. It says, so why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love. Let me just stop and read that back over again. People need to hear this. So why would I fear the future? So why would I fear the future? Why ever would I look at the future in fear? Why would I look at my 401k in fear or the lack of it? Why would I look at my kids in fear? Why would I look at any of this stuff and fear? For your goodness and your love, perspective, what kind of shepherd do you have? Do you have a shepherd that cuts and runs? Do you have a shepherd that's like your daddy and mama? Do you have a shepherd like your boss? Do you have a shepherd like all those people who have let you down? Or do you have a shepherd who loves you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who the scripture says, even though I make my bed in the belly of hell, God, you are there. Let me break that down for modern English. Even though, God, I've done everything wrong, even though I put myself in bad places, are you going to leave me? Oh no, my God, you are there. The moment I turn my face toward you, your light, your grace, your mercy, it shines down on me. Even when I was in the wrong, you saved me from harm. Even when I was in the wrong, I could see your hand moving me to the right places. You sent the missionaries. You sent the laborers to the harvest when I needed them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there even when I walked away. Thank you, God. And you know, the Lord never brings it up that you were wrong. That's the beauty of it. He didn't even bring up the uncomfortable conversation that you didn't want to have with him. He says, it's good. You're in the right place. Let's make the right decisions from now. Let's make sure we've learned something and move forward. Let's not get in the same problems again. But if you ever need me, I'm here. Have you ever had a family member that told you they were there no matter what and you knew they meant it? You knew you couldn't get a hold of a lot of people, but you could get a hold of one person? And you did. No matter what the problems were, you could get a hold of them and they'd be there. Now, I could tell you, my mama's one of those people in my life. If I ever made a mistake, if I ever had a problem, I say this statement. If I ever got arrested and was put in jail, my first call, Jesse might let me sit there for a while. She might think he needs to learn his lesson. You know what? He acted like a fool. Let him sit with fools. That might be her. She'll come get me. Don't get me wrong. She'll come get me. She needs me to carry bags and take out the garbage, cut the grass. She needs me to hold the umbrella when it's raining. She needs me. So she will come get me. I'm confident she will get me. But my confidence is not immediately. She may. She may. I'm not sure. But my mama would be like, y'all take Visa. You take American Express, I'll give you the number over the phone. My mama would post bail immediately. There's people I know. Now, I know I could go to my mama. If I got into a life of sin, she wouldn't agree with it. And she'd be very clear. And she wouldn't allow it in her house. She would be very clear. But she's always, I love you no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what you do, no matter what you go, I will be there. I won't allow you. My mama has told me. I wouldn't. She's told all her kids, I won't allow you to stay the same. I won't allow you to kill yourself. I won't allow you. I can't stand there and watch you destroy yourself. But the moment you need help, I will always be there. I will be there. And that has been very true. Now, my daddy, he will help me, but he may beat me to the car. Different type of love, different way of showing it. But he will beat me to the vehicle all the way there. But your father, not your earthly father, but your heavenly father, you can run to him. And he has a rod and he has a staff. And that is to protect you from the wolf. Yes. And he will cause you to come in close. And he'll show his love. He will show his grace. He will show his mercy. He will always get you to the place you need to be. The way you need to receive. That's the beauty. Each child learns differently. And I have two. And they're alike. And they're so different. And one of them, there's one way of correcting them. And there's another one, if I correct them the same way, they'd bawl and cry and fall on the floor. And the other one's like, I'm good. I won't do it again. And they're just different. You got to handle them different. And the beauty is God knows all of us. And he handles us all the way we need to be handled. He's good God. And he promises, are you ready? His goodness. He promises his mercy. And he promises us eternal life. Now get this, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow here is rah. I'm not getting the roll on the R correctly. Radaf. And it means, that was funny, radaf. I'll clear my throat again. Radaf, which means to pursue, to put to flight, to chase, like a dog. People run from dogs, run from prison, and they put a dog on it. Why? Because a dog can follow when nobody else can. It's relentless. It'll keep going. And this is what this is trying to give us attention to or get our mind on. It says, run after, to follow quickly. Surely goodness and mercy. You can try to run from it, and God will cause goodness and mercy to hunt you down that will run after you. I could see people running from the kingdom of God. No, Lord, I don't want to be a missionary. No, Lord, I don't want to do that right now. I'm in college. Everybody told me I need to sow my wild oats. Lord, no, I don't want to go to church. No, I don't want to volunteer right now. I feel guilty because these other things I want to do. And God is behind you with two dogs on a leash called goodness and mercy, and their noses to the ground. Where do they go? Where do they go? And the Lord is hunting you down. Even if you're not trying to follow him, goodness and mercy is chasing you down, following after you quickly. See, the church will tell you, goodness and mercy will follow you down. In about 50 years, if you do right, the Lord may bless you once. We're all holding bingo cards, and we stamp them when the Lord calls these scriptures out, and then one day I'll be able to yell, bingo, Jesus! And that's when goodness and mercy will hunt you down. It's almost like a lottery, and we're just trying to pick the right numbers. God says when you run, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get you with goodness and mercy. 1 John, I'm ending. 1 John 2 and 25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Even eternal life. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the profession. The profession. Let me say that again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful that promised. So we can read the promises of God that are in him and amen. And we can say, God, you're faithful. Let's bow our heads. I want everybody in this place, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you telling me to do? What are you telling me to my heart? What are you speaking to my spirit? I don't want this just to be something we always do. We do this almost every Sunday. And I don't want this to be just a tradition or just sit here and be quiet, but I want you to seriously take a moment, connect with God, and say, Father, in this scripture, in this message, what are you speaking to my heart? He may tell you something I didn't even say. He may bring something across your heart right now. I believe he's speaking to many of you right now. Maybe he's telling you and talking to you about stress. Maybe it's unknown. Maybe he's speaking to you about his provisions, his protection, or his promises that he'll do the things that he has spoken to you. Whatever it is, Lord, speak to our hearts right now.